Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Would you please be seated? Growing up, my mother really enjoyed cross stitch. She would sit on the couch in the living room for hours at a time, losing her eyesight slowly, slowly as she put thread through tiny little holes, right? But at the end, she came up with these beautiful designs, many of which have become keepsakes. But while we were growing up, while my mother was deep inside of cross-stitching, the couch seemed inaccessible. There were boxes and thread, and you get too close and it seems like, you know, just get away, leave this stuff alone. And this became hard, because sometimes as a kid, you need your mother's attention. Something's hurt, something's wrong. And the question became, like, does she actually want me there? What if she doesn't want all of me, including when I'm hurting? Now, there's a basic analogy here between the way we feel about God sometimes, because God can seem far away. It can feel like he's sitting on a couch that's too cluttered to make space for you. I've heard this. I've heard people say that they don't pray because they figure God has enough on his plate already. Does God want all of who and what I am? Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus' ascension into heaven, what that means for us, and how we can live it out. So first of all, Jesus' ascension caps off the story that we have been observing since Advent. So we get this overview summary from 1 Peter, our second lesson today. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This passage begins with Jesus' death. He suffered for our sins once for all. Remembering Good Friday, Jesus stretching out his arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of his saving embrace. But then Peter goes straight into Holy Saturday, the story of Jesus going to make proclamation of the good news of his victory to the spirits in prison, the people who were not able to repent in the time of Noah. We have images of this in our icon tradition in the Christian church. Sometimes this is called the harrowing of hell, where Jesus goes and breaks down the gates of hell and rescues the people there. We confess in the Apostles' Creed that Jesus descended to the dead. This is what that means. This is what this means, and this is where it comes from. But then Peter talks about baptism. The flood, the waters of the flood, which cleansed the earth, prefigures our own baptism that cleanses us and saves us. We are saved through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he says that Jesus has gone into heaven. So this coming Thursday is Ascension Day. We're going to remember Jesus' ascension into heaven. This is a 40-day period where Jesus appeared to the disciples, showed them the true interpretation of the scriptures, equipped them for what was next. So if you can, I'd like you to bring to mind Easter Sunday morning. And I want you to feel the amount of time between Easter Sunday morning and today. And imagine that time being filled with the wonder of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, just showing up unannounced. Ascension Day is the day where that stops. Jesus goes, he ascends into heaven and is at the right hand of God, Peter says. And it's there that he continually serves as our prophet through the Spirit, revealing the truths of God, as our priest, interceding for us, and as our king, ruling the church until all will be made subject to him, until when he returns to judge the living and the dead, when all will be set right and all will be made new. Ascension kind of caps off this story of Jesus. After this, we're waiting for the Spirit. We're going into the green season of the rest of the Christian year. But what does this ascension tide mean for us? In our collect this morning, we prayed, "You have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Your promises exceed all that we can desire." The ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven is a good thing that surpasses our understanding. Because in Jesus Christ, God makes room for us, all of who we are. So going back to the incarnation, the Son of God became a whole and complete human being with and for us. On the cross, he suffered as a human being with and for us. In the resurrection, Jesus was raised to life in the wholeness and completeness of his human nature with and for us. The ascension doesn't suddenly undo the resurrection. No, the story tells us, Jesus carries our whole, complete, and redeemed humanity into the very presence of God. Now, when we were hurting and we needed our mother, she would see us coming and she would push away the cross-stitch stuff on the couch. She would clear away the things that we thought were in the way. And she'd pat the couch beside her and invite us up. Jesus does the same. He makes room for us, all of who we are, in heaven with the Father. Now, it's tempting to think that Jesus only makes room for our souls with God. But again, that is not what the story teaches. It's not what we are shown in Christ. Somehow, some way, in a way that surpasses our understanding, with God now is the human Jesus, our prophet, our priest, and our king. And when Jesus returns, he will return in his whole and complete resurrected human body, and he will make all things new, renewing us and the cosmos, making heaven and earth one. In Jesus Christ, God makes room for you. Your hopes, your fears, your body, your soul. All of who and what you are. Ascension caps off this story that we have been telling. It means that in Jesus Christ, God has made room for us. So how can we live it out? The reason I'm focusing on this is because of y'all. So blame yourselves. No. Okay, good. Thank you. We have been in the process of doing three-year planning. That started with a spiritual life inventory at the beginning of the year. Last week we had a parish meeting, a congregational meeting, where we talked about the results of that, which showed us as individuals a very spiritually healthy church. And we did an exercise on Sunday trying to see where we might want to focus for the next 3 years. And one thing that you raised up was a desire to practice the disciplines and prayers appropriate for the seasons of the church year. So between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, the disciples waited. This was not an empty waiting. There was a fullness of anticipation and joy. Jesus had promised the Spirit, they believed him, and they waited. It is traditional in the Christian church to observe this season of ascension, this time between Ascension Day and Pentecost, with Eucharist and the practice of, here's a new word for you, a novena, a period of 9 days of prayer. So the Eucharist on Ascension Day, which we'll have at noon on Thursday, you are invited and encouraged to attend, and then 9 days of prayer. So on the sign-up table out here, where you can sign up for formation, there is also a stack of books. These are prayer guides for that novena, written by Sarah Mullally, the Archbishop of Canterbury. I've printed them. If you don't want a print copy, if you'd rather read it on your Kindle or on another device, you can go to holyspiritwaco.com, scroll down just a little bit, and download the prayer guide, and also download a principal prayer journal that you could use during this time of prayer. So I invite you to take it home, to read the introduction now, come to worship on Thursday at noon, and then start your waiting prayer for the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. So in conclusion, Ascension caps off this story we've been telling. It shows that in Jesus Christ, God makes room for all of us, all of who we are, and Christians have observed this through time with Eucharist and intentional devotion. So I pick up one of those devotionals on your way out or visit the church's website to download it for yourself. Does God want all of us? Yes, God does. God loves us more than we can love ourselves. God moved heaven and earth to come to be with us, then moved heaven and earth again to bring us in Christ to be with him. Now, as St. Paul says, we are hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with him in glory. So don't be afraid to draw near to God this week. God will clear whatever it is away that you think is standing between you. Pat the couch beside him and invite you up. In Jesus Christ, God makes room. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.